May it please the court, my name is Neil Kaczynski. It's a pleasure to be involved in any proceeding that involves protecting or improving the integrity of the disciplinary process and the rights of attorneys. It's said that the central purpose of the disciplinary proceedings is to protect the public, not to punish attorneys, which made Judge Poston's first question on remand to the three-judge panel a bit of a surprise, coming three sentences into Bar Counsel's argument. Can the court impose a more severe sanction? This is after the conviction for violating a court order went away on the first appeal before this court. I think a better question for protection of the public after looking over the entire case is, how can we help the indigent obtain counsel in probate and estate matters when they have no resources to pay counsel unless they prevail in court? That's the ultimate public protection question. In essence, our brief regarding jurisdiction states that Article 6, Section 5 of the Virginia Constitution says that the authority of the Virginia Supreme Court is granted to make rules, but those rules shall not be in conflict with the general law. And as we see the general law, it seems to respect the fact finder's superior ability to assess credibility through nuances in tone of voice, facial expression, etc. And that's why appellate courts are reluctant to overturn fact findings unless sentences and findings are clearly wrong. It's hard to understand why attorneys should be exempted from this logic unless, for some reason, due process and getting it right with reference to imposing sanctions is just not deemed as important when it comes to attorney discipline.
Counsel, when there's an appeal from the bar to the three-judge panel, how would you characterize that appeal, de novo or discretionary review?
When it goes from the bar to the three-judge panel, the only job of that panel is to determine whether there was reasonable evidence to come up with the determination that the bar panel did.
So does the bar lose jurisdiction when that appeal is effectuated?
The bar initially loses jurisdiction to the three-judge panel, yes.
So then the next question in your case presents is, why wouldn't the three-judge panel retain jurisdiction on remand?
Well, on a remand, we have the issue with the sentencing, which has already been determined down below. And since those people at the bar committee had an opportunity to directly assess the witnesses and assess the way they answered questions and presented evidence, they are clearly in the best position to decide what the appropriate sanction is.
Could not the three judges also hear evidence and make that judgment?
I don't think they can do it as effectively. They might approximate. But since they haven't heard all of the underlying evidence and the way it was presented, I don't see how they can possibly do it as accurately. And this is where we get with Judge Poston's comment, can we sanction him more when the major charge of violating the court's order has gone away? He wants to give more punishment when there are less charges remaining to punish, which I would suggest would be an unlikely result going back to the bar committee because they didn't give a greater punishment in the first place. Now, I'm aware of what the rules say in terms of sending things back, and they apparently say on their face that things would go back to a three-judge panel, or if the other direction were chosen, to the full bar committee. But I think that the logic that's used for the general return of cases from the appellate courts differs from the general rules, which would appear to me to be unconstitutional, given the constitutional command that when the Virginia Supreme Court makes its rules, it must not conflict with the general laws. Now, I think my brief and the two appendices I filed expand upon these two basic ideas. But that being said, unless there's any further questions of me, I'm going to yield to the Attorney General's office.
All right, you have 9 minutes for rebuttal.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Narissa Rouser, and I'm here today representing the Virginia State Bar. The sole issue before the court in this attorney disciplinary matter today is whether on remand from this court for reconsideration of sanctions, the three-judge panel of the circuit court has that jurisdiction to consider and impose those sanctions. And the answer is yes, it does. As a threshold matter, however, and in candor to this court, both parties on brief have cited the standard of review for attorney disciplinary matters involving factual determinations. And that would be the appropriate standard of review had Mr. Kaczynski appealed the actual sanction imposed on remand, but he's not done that. Because the sole issue is whether there was jurisdiction, the appropriate standard of review should be de novo in this consideration. Turning to the merits of this appeal, this matter was properly remanded to the three-judge panel of the circuit court, and the three-judge panel did have jurisdiction to reconsider and impose sanctions. By Mr. Kaczynski's own admissions, after the initial district committee determination, he exercised his right to appeal to a three-judge panel of the circuit court pursuant to the rules of this court and Virginia Code Section 54.1-3935. When he exercised that right, all proceedings before the disciplinary board and the prior district committee terminated. Mr. Kaczynski had several options. He had the option of not appealing at all, at which point the district committee determination would have become final. He had the option of appealing to the disciplinary board, or he had the option of appealing to the three-judge panel of the circuit court. And the disciplinary board procedures and appealing to the three-judge panel in the circuit court mirror. They have the same procedures and the same authority under the rules. Code Section 54.1-3915 mandates, however, that in no case shall an attorney who demands to be tried by a court of competent jurisdiction for a violation of any rule or regulation adopted under this article, the attorney misconduct, he shall not be tried in any other manner. That was Mr. Kaczynski's selection, was to have this matter tried in a court of competent jurisdiction, which was the three-judge panel in circuit court. Mr. Kaczynski's argument that this matter should have been reconsidered by the district committee on remand fails. By appealing to the three-judge panel in the circuit court, the appellant has removed this matter from the purview of the volunteer system and divested the disciplinary board and the prior district committee of any further authority over this.
Counsel, you're using two different terms. You're saying he chose to have the matter tried by the three-judge panel, and he appealed to the three-judge panel. Are there two possible proceedings before the three-judge panel? One is a trial where they hear the witnesses, they make the determination, they impose the sanction. And the other is the appeal where they are looking at the record coming from the committee?
Yes, Your Honor. Both of those are potential under the statute. He could have chosen to have the initial district committee trial, if we'd like to call it that.
Right. But here he chose the appeal.
He did choose the appeal. And under the rules for appealing to a three-judge district, or excuse me, a three-judge panel in circuit court or to the disciplinary board, those two bodies could consider the entire record on appeal. Mm-hmm. The appellant had the opportunity to submit additional materials to the record in the interest of justice, and prior to the imposition of any sanctions, an appellant in an attorney disciplinary matter has the opportunity to present mitigating evidence prior to the imposition of those sanctions. And those are rights and abilities that the appellate bodies have, either the disciplinary board or the three-judge panel in the circuit court.
So technically it's not de novo, but it's plenary opportunity to introduce evidence on the substantial evidence standard.
Yes, Your Honor.
Can I follow up with this question? He says it's unconstitutional to not send, the three judges to not send this matter back to the bar. You say the three judge could never send it back to the bar because they lost jurisdiction, subject matter jurisdiction. Isn't there a middle ground? Couldn't the three-judge panel hear this case and say, you know what, I'm going to remand it further and have the bar review this? Now, he would still lose this appeal because he wouldn't have a right to that, but is it necessary for you to win this case for us to say there's just no jurisdiction? Because if that were true, for example, if in this case the three judges got together and said, this could use, I'd like to know the bar's view of this. One of these three violations have been carved out. They're very experienced and knowledgeable, and we trust them. Let's see what they have to say on the penalty for the other two. But if they don't have jurisdiction, they could not do that under your logic, as I understand it.
That's correct, Your Honor, and there are two parts to that question. First being, the three-judge panel doesn't have jurisdiction to send it back because of Code Section 54.1-3915 and the rules of court and the election of appealing. But the second part in that answer is, on appeal, the three-judge panel in the circuit court had the opportunity the first time to consider the findings of misconduct, and it didn't have to uphold all those findings of misconduct. Initially, it could have found that Mr. Kaczynski was in violation of two of the three findings of misconduct, and it would have been in the same position as it is in now, where the district committee had recommended.
Right, I get that, and they could, as you say, be perfectly suited and positioned to make the call, but the question I'm trying to figure out is, suppose they thought it better to nonetheless remand it further back to the bar. As I understand your logic of your argument, that's not an option on the table.
That's correct, Your Honor.
So you're saying they could never send it back to the bar, to the district committee?
No, Your Honor.
What proceedings?
Excuse me, know that they can never send it back, or no, she's not correct in what she just says?
The three-judge panel may not send it back to the district committee for further proceedings.
Are we following the procedures under 1319? Are those the proceedings on appeal?
Yes.
G2 says reverse the decision of the district committee and remand the charge of misconduct to the district committee for further proceedings. G3. I guess where I'm a little bit lost, there are apparently three options that the three-judge court has under G. They can dismiss the charge, they can affirm the district committee, or they can reverse it and send it back to the district committee according to number three. And we're sort of in a middle ground because we dismissed one of the charges, sent it back to the three-judge court. They can't do a dismissal. They can't do a complete affirmance. They can't do, so the only thing it seems they can do is a reversal. Where am I?
I think we remanded it for the determination of sanctions only.
Well, we remanded it for appropriate proceeding.
Your and Honor, in all due respect, the order specifically remanded for reconsideration of the sanctions to be imposed. Yes. And so the issue would be, does that three-judge panel have jurisdiction to reconsider the sanctions, which is the body that was tasked with doing that below?
Well, let's assume, arguendo, it has jurisdiction. The question that the three of us are teasing around is, do they have exclusive jurisdiction? Do they not have the authority, if they choose to exercise it, the discretionary authority to remand it back to the disciplinary committee?
I don't think the court has discretion to remand it back to the district committee because of the language of 54.1-3915. Because Mr. Kaczynski had requested that circuit court panel, the statute states that that attorney may be tried in no other manner.
Well, as I understand it, that means he's following the track, the three-judge track. And in this hypothetical question we're asking, he's still going to be in the three-judge track after the the bar gives whatever response they do on remand, it goes right back to the three-judge track. It goes back to the same judges who remanded it to the bar. So that's the same manner.
And, Your Honor, the three-judge panel is considering the same information and initially had on remand. There's no distinction in the rules between considering the issue and the sanctions on appeal to the three-judge panel and on remand from this court. They still consider the entire record, and they have the authority to impose the same or any lesser sanction as that imposed by the district committee.
The district committee had three issues before it and it imposed a sanction. The three-judge court now has two issues before it on a sanction that was imposed by the district committee. I'm trying to think this through. If this were the Court of Appeals, we sent something back and said you got three of them right, but you got one of them wrong. Would the Court of Appeals ever impose a sanction, or would they send it back to the circuit court to say resentence this person?
I think that's a different proceeding, and I understand your point, and I think a lot of the times in the Court of Appeals, being remanded back for criminal issues provides additional protections for the criminal defendant that just don't apply in attorney disciplinary matters. Here, the case law is very clear that these are civil proceedings, and I understand appellant has made an argument that they should be considered criminal or quasi-criminal, and he should be...
Yeah, I'm not even entertaining that. I totally agree with you that it's a civil proceeding.
I just think that under the case law we have and the statutes, the proceedings are different from being remanded from the Court of Appeals to the trial court for reconsideration. And I think in this case, that three-judge panel and circuit court had more of an opportunity than the district committee to weigh the credibility of the witnesses on remand. Mr. Kaczynski put on mitigating evidence that wasn't presented to the district committee. That was solely for consideration of imposing sanctions. And so that body was in the best position under his argument to consider and impose those sanctions with the witnesses and new evidence in front of it.
It would seem to me that if the three-judge panel didn't have jurisdiction to hear evidence and determine a sanction, which is the assignment of error, then it wasn't the three-judge panel that erred. We erred, because that's what we told them to do.
Correct. And I don't think this court erred in remanding it because that body did have jurisdiction. Parsing that out a little bit further, Code Section 54.1-3935B shows that, and this goes back to Justice Kelsey's question, that three-judge panel was the only body at that point in time that had authority to reconsider and impose the sanctions. It requires the three-judge panel to adopt the rules and procedures described in Part 6, Section 4, Paragraph 13. And I understand Justice Powell's reference to the differences and the opportunities, and we have different phases. However, it does permit that body to consider sanctions and impose any same or lesser sanction. It had the opportunity to parse out findings of misconduct and decide we're going to dismiss this finding of misconduct, so we're left with two out of the three without this court being involved at all, and we still need to impose sanctions. Can they do that? I believe they can under the law. Additionally, I believe I've made my point about the credibility of the witnesses in the appellate body as far as the disciplinary proceeding is concerned. That body was able to hear new evidence, was able to consider additional records and weigh all of those things in imposing a sanction. And fundamentally, I believe that appellant's entire argument relies upon a flawed premise that the attorney disciplinary process is criminal or quasi-criminal. He cites Article 1, Section 8 of the Virginia Constitution, which deals solely with criminal prosecutions. It's titled criminal prosecutions. And that is what he uses to support that the rules are in conflict with the general law. Appellant doesn't cite any applicable authority to support his position that the three-judge panel lacked jurisdiction to take the action that it did. And the Virginia State Bar would ask this court to affirm the ruling of the circuit court panel. There are no additional questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Rebuttal. You have 9 minutes.
Unless the court has any questions raised by that presentation, we are going to waive rebuttal.
All right. Thank you very much. The court will be in recess and will reconvene at 11:45.
All rise.